CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, we have a first-hand look inside Libya this morning. CNN's Nick Robertson's in the coastal town of Zawiya, some 35 miles west of Tripoli. He reports that government troops are on the outskirts of town, but anti-government forces control the city center.
We've seen men in uniforms here, opposition now in army uniforms, opposition people armed with RPGs sitting astride anti-aircraft guns. We've seen the crowd climbing over one of the army tanks in the central square here.
The UN Security Council has voted to impose sanctions on Muammar Gaddafi's regime in Libya, but speaking on CNN's State of the Union program this morning, Senator Joe Lieberman calls for an even tougher response.
I'd begin with the imposition of a no-fly zone so that Gaddafi can't be attacking his own people from the air, are flying in more mercenaries. I think we ought to recognize the opposition provisional government as the legitimate government of Libya.
Now we're getting word the Prime Minister of Tunisia has stepped down from the interim government. Recall that Tunisia is where all the latest furor in North Africa and the Middle East started earlier this year. A popular uprising there led to the longtime president being run out of the country. As unrest continues in that region, oil traders are bidding up the world price of oil. It rose more than 9% in the past week. Forbes.com columnist Gordon Chang says it'll also affect food prices.
Oil is not just energy, because it also affects food. It really feeds directly into food very quickly. And food inflation, which is already very bad, is going to get worse.
Just what we want to hear. The Academy Awards are tonight. The King's Speech leads the way with 12 nominations. The remake of the Western True Grit has 10. It's nominated for Best Picture, and Hailee Steinfeld is nominated for Best Supporting Actress. Here's a clip.
Can we depart this afternoon?
We? You are not going. That is no part of it.
For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Caleb, technician from SafeLight Auto Glass.
My last customer had me repair a small chip on her windshield before it could crack. She asked me if the repair would last a long time because she wanted to sell her car next year. I told her SafeLight's repair resin is scientifically proven to stay stronger, last longer, and it won't yellow over time. Plus, thanks to her insurance, a SafeLight repair was no cost to her.
Call 1-800-800-2727 or go to SafeLight.com.
SafeLight Repair, SafeLight Replace.
Your mother always told you to say no to peer pressure. So when you hear how 4 million drivers switched to GEICO last year, you aren't swayed. Then again, those 4 million drivers probably saved hundreds by switching to the nation's third largest car insurance company. Maybe your mother was wrong. Maybe you could have joined that hippie commune in Montana. Or maybe you could save money by switching to GEICO today.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under 20 bucks. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the food and wine variety show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
It's a beautiful morning.
Oh, and it is a beautiful morning. It's not raining, it's not snowing, it's just cold and gray in Washington, but that comprises beauty at this time of year. So welcome to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. I'm David Nellis. Guess which one I am? We got a great show today. I do want to mention one thing. We had a death in the family. I wish we could play taps, but for those of you that enjoy watching this show on TBD TV, there ain't no more TBD TV because they went all news. So if you're looking for Foodie and the Beast on Saturdays, don't. For a couple of weeks, we're in negotiations and hope to be back on the air shortly. But what can I say? It wasn't my decision.
And hopefully we'll be able to put some of these...
Yeah, they'll be up online.
Up online pretty soon, so you'll be able to see all the fun we're having
actually,
in studio.
If you go to thefoodieandthebeast.com, we've got our own website now, and they'll be we'll be streaming content as of Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a crazy show. Good show. Every food craze has its firing point, the thing that just sets it off. For the cupcake craze, it was the opening of Sprinkles, which is the now iconic L.A.-based cupcakery.
And we've been there.
Yeah, we've been there.
Kids in tow.
That's why I'm fat. They're coming to D.C. We
One
have
of
Sprinkles.
The many, many reasons.
Sprinkles co-founders Charles and Candace Nelson are here with us today, along with a yummy Sprinkles sampling that I'll be stuffing into my face shortly.
Even with Foodie and the Beast on it, I feel so special.
That's right.
And have you heard of a CSA? Now, some of you may cock your heads on that, but this is a new movement that is really hitting the area big. It is community-supported agriculture, and this is a way for you to get in with the farmer and get fabulous farm-fresh produce at your door.
We've got the Ballier family sitting out there from West Virginia. They came all the way in.
We got them from California. We got them from West Virginia. We got them from...
Well, everybody wants to be on Foodie and the Beast.
Frederick, we got them from all over today. So we'll be talking about how you can get in on your own CSA this summer. And John Critchley, he is the new executive chef at Urbana, which is at the Palomar and DuPont Circle. Now, he just came in from Miami, and he is rolling out a new menu later on this week. We're going to hear all about it.
Well, and he was at Area 31, which I think was one of Esquire's best restaurants in the country, too. So, good catch, Urbana. Okay, so is there any such animal as a brewophile? If so, and if you could look in the dictionary, you'd probably see Teddy Folkman's face there. Teddy's the executive chef at Granville Moore's Gastropub, and he's kind of the poster board for the breed of folks that love...
Boy.
What did I say?
You said he was a poster board.
Poster board.
I don't know what
that
you're
means
saying.
I will stick pins in you, Teddy.
Means.
I don't know what I just meant. Poster boy. So that was easy for
Teddy
me to say.
On Friday.
But Teddy's
Teddy.
In with.
Sorry.
Be quiet.
I haven't even had a cupcake.
Everybody
yet.
Out there, don't get married. He's in with Matt Brophy, who's the brewmaster at Flying Dog Brewery. They're Maryland's biggest, and they've got great, I mean, our fridge is full of Flying Dog. And they're in to talk about Savor, which is a big annual American craft brew and food experience that's coming back to D.C. in a couple of months. So, beer dudes, let's start with you. Teddy, why don't you give us the 411 on Savor?
Savor is the it's billed as the ultimate craft beer and food experience. It's in Washington D.C. It's at the National Building Museum. This year it's going to be 2 days instead of 1 day. I'm working with a chef from San Francisco, Adam Doyle from Monk's Kettle, and the two of us are coming up with some interesting pairings for the food, and we're really going to try and blow it out of the water this year as far as the food's concerned.
You mean blow it out of the beer? Yes, thank you.
It's June 3rd and 4th, but the reason why we're talking about it now is because this thing sells out like crazy. Like last year it was, that's why they expanded 8 to 2 days, but it usually sells out like in less than 24
minutes.
Hours, right?
Yeah, last year it was 10 minutes.
Insane.
They sold out everything, including the salons. So hopefully this year we'll sell out in 8 minutes for both of them.
Right. So, but tickets go on sale on the 3rd.
3rd, yes.
But there is pre-sale for those who know better.
Those are in the know.
You know what? That sounds a lot like Bloomingdale's to me.
No, it's nothing like Bloomingdale's.
The sale starts kidding. Thursday, but if you apply right now, you can hear it.
Unless you apply for a credit card for it. It's
right.
Better.
All right, so tell us, Flying Dog is here. Did you guys participate in Savor last year?
Yes, we did.
You did. And tell us a little bit about why you participated in it and what you brought in today.
Well, we participate in it because it's pretty much the craft beer and food event every year. Obviously sponsored by the Brewers Association. We're starting a new special single hop series, a single hop Imperial IPA series. And today we brought in a beer we call El Dorado, which is the name of the hop. And we're releasing a beer called Simcoe, the single hop Imperial IPA. And that'll be released for Savor. So we don't have that here today, but we have the El Dorado, and that'll continue on in a series. We also have our Raging Bitch, which is a Belgian style IPA.
So we all have those.
What? Yes, yes.
Be careful. There's a couple of us in studio. Give us a break.
We can end the show right now as far as I'm concerned. Thank you.
And we've got our coffee stout, which is an imperial stout made with Black Dog coffee from West Virginia.
You know, I always thought that a single hop beer was all you could do before you fell over. Is that? No? Okay.
All right. We need to move on. Which one are you going to pour first?
We're going to do the El Dorado single hop.
Okay, terrific.
All right. Well, then let's bring Candace and Charles Nelson in here. Guys, welcome to D.C.
Thank you. We're so thrilled to be here.
Look, they're a loving couple.
Cute.
Look, they're sharing one microphone. All right, so let's start from the start. I mean, why cupcakes? Why not gold or, you know?
Or internet. You know, yeah. You were talking about that earlier. Thank you.
Exactly. We did. We both came from the internet and finance world. And really, all of our friends thought we were completely nuts when we said, hey, we're out. We're going to go start a cupcakes-only bakery.
I can imagine the faces that people gave you.
They thought we were...
Good luck. Have a good time.
Everybody, they probably said, smoke one more and then right. See if you still want to...
Don't call us when you need some money.
Exactly. So, there were naysayers all around us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, not only that, I mean, the first thing you have to ask yourself when something doesn't exist is, why doesn't it exist? Maybe it's a terrible idea. So we were trying to start something new. Not only that, it was the South Beach Diet and Atkins craze.
Oh.
And nobody was eating carbs. And we were opening in Beverly Hills, which is, you know, a place that's known for not eating
skinny
very... Yes, yeah, skinny people. And people not eating very much at all anyway.
Right.
So...
it took a year for us to find somebody who would actually lease us a space. I had... probably a half dozen landlords hang up on me and say, we want long-term tenants only, or, you know, what else are you going to sell? Thanks, but no thanks.
Wow.
You know, there's been a recent rash of suicides among landlords in Los Angeles now, isn't it? Filled with remorse for hanging up on you.
So as you were putting together this concept, with sort of the recent deaths of bakeries as a general concept, why didn't you go with that instead of going with something single? Like just a single item concept.
Why do we go with a single item concept?
Yes.
You know, the idea was to do something really pure and to do one thing and really excel at that one thing.
Mm-hmm.
There was something about, you know, every business we went to, it was like you sit down at a restaurant, you'd open this menu that was like 35 pages. And it was kind of like, how is this place doing all of these things very well? And the answer was, it wasn't. Everything was sort of mediocre. And, you know, the idea of the American supermarket being all things to all people.
Right.
We wanted to be sort of this very specialized place and own a niche and do one thing very, very well. And for us, that was about really specializing in the cupcake, sort of this beloved American classic that I felt needed to be reinvented and modernized.
So how did you... I mean, were you a major cupcake maker? Were you already making cupcakes? And how did you start playing with all the product? Because you offer so many different flavors.
So I grew up baking with my mom. It's, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things we did together. We're definitely a foodie family, and baked goods ranked high on our list of treats in our household. And, you know, after finance, I decided I wanted to devote my life to baking, and I went to pastry school.
So you went from counting dough to rolling it. Thank you.
From banking to baking.
Only here for a short period of time.
I love these moments.
It's funny in the beginning. It's not funny later.
After 15 years.
My husband and I work together too, so I get it.
This is why we drink on the show.
Apparently it wears on you. All right, well, I got a question. So, I mean... We were in Bethesda yesterday and passed one of your competitors, not to be named, stores, and it was cold and crappy out, and they had a line, I kid you not, of more than 50 people, you know, shivering in the breeze waiting for cupcakes. You started all this. How does that feel? Is it weird? Because you really did.
Well, I think, you know, for us, it's exciting that, you know, when we opened what was the world's first cupcake bakery, you know, in 2005 in Beverly Hills, and it inspired people around the country and, you know, around the world. We see places in Malaysia and Tokyo and all over
Malaysians
Europe.
Eat a lot of
I mean, it's fun for us. And, you know, the cupcake is something that now, you know, 40, 50 flavors, you know, is something that's common. And, you know, it's exciting. We're excited that it's become a mainstay in American culture, and hopefully it'll stay that way.
Well, let me ask you quickly about your flavors and about the cupcake. Like, what makes a Sprinkles cupcake
a Sprinkles cupcake?
I mean, what is it that, you know, makes it different from some of the other cupcakes that you see? And also, how do you come up with your different flavors? And do you roll them out, like, to all your 8 locations? Or does each location sort of come up with its own personality? That's a lot of questions.
I have a lot to ask.
Now we're going to a commercial.
A Sprinkles cupcake, really, it starts with the recipe. Mm-hmm. And I worked on the recipes for about a year and a half. Basically, you know, I wanted to develop recipes that were specific to cupcakes. Because in the past, really, a cupcake was an afterthought. It was, here's a great cake recipe, and then let's pour the cake recipe into these this like cupcake tin. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so we were all about elevating the cupcake and making the cupcake the star.
You don't know how funny that sounds, elevating the cupcake, but you did.
Really, because at the time, you know, cupcakes were still kiddie fare. You know, they were made with shortening-laden frostings, garishly waxy-colored sprinkles, and we wanted to do something that was more elegant and more sophisticated, something that would appeal to someone who loved, you know, a plated dessert at a fine restaurant, but still keep it simple and keep the playful fun of a cupcake. And so it starts with the recipes, then beautiful ingredients, the world's best cocoa and chocolate, pure Nielsen-Massey vanilla, and then the execution. We bake fresh all day long. We staff all different shifts of bakers, so it's sort of this idea of just-in-time baking. You walk into the bakery at any time of the day, the cupcake has just been baked and frosted within hours.
Now, you guys do hand frosting.
And we, you know...
And why, I want to know why, as opposed to piping or whatever.
You know, for us, our cupcakes are handcrafted from the beginning to the end, and that includes hand frosting each cupcake. And it's very labor intensive, but the idea is that, you know, we're just doing something you would have done with your grandma in your kitchen, and we're just doing it in maybe a little bit more elegant of a fashion. But your cupcake has been handcrafted from beginning to end.
All right, well, let me ask this question, because you did start this craze and it's blossoming everywhere with all the competition and some very good competition here in D.C. Why come to D.C. now at this point? Aren't there other markets that would be might be easier to conquer?
Well, you know, when we started, we had a plan that we wanted to be in the top 15 or 20 markets in the U.S. And, you know, we're a family-owned business, just Candace and I. We don't have any financial partners or other things and other people involved. And so we've grown slowly. We now have 8 stores, and this will be our 9th store. And so we're kind of just executing on a plan that we had from the start. And, you know, we're opening in New York in May, and we're excited to come to D.C. You know, I went to business school at the University of Virginia. Candace's parents lived in D.C. for a while, and we've always been excited about coming here. And we weren't going to change our plans just based on the fact that there were more people, you know, eating cupcakes. But that also helps us because we don't have to educate the market now. When we first opened Beverly Hills, we spent so much time with each person. Why should I pay $3 for a cupcake? That's not a question.
Because I want it. That's why.
It's not a question that comes up anymore when people come in. That kind of, that price leap has come, that value is there now
so,
in people's minds.
I know why you're coming to D.C. You're going to try and kick some butt and take some names, right?
Well, we're peace-loving, cupcake-eating people.
You're from San Francisco.
Sugar Heights. We know who you are. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the free cupcakes that are going to be given away for the next 2 weeks.
And I'm going to be eating one of these.
That you guys are supporting. So this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be drinking beer, having cupcakes, and then talking a little bit about the farms in just a bit.
Everyone.
Mortgages should be illegal because you're getting robbed every month. For example, if you have a typical $200,000 30-year mortgage, you're going to end up paying over $400,000 after interest. That's almost a quarter of $1 million that you could be putting into your pocket instead of the bank's. I want to send you a powerful free CD to show you how. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. My proven system can eliminate your mortgage and all your other debts using just the money you already make. That's right, no credit card debt, no car payment, no mortgage. It's easy. It works.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
Stop getting robbed of your money and your future. Call now and I'll rush you a free CD today. Call 1-800-500-2884. For your free CD, call 1-800-500-2884. 1-800-500-2884.
Farmers and Fishers in Georgetown, the perfect place for your upcoming celebration. Whether it's a luncheon or after-work gathering, cocktail reception, sit-down dinner, or full-scale party, Farmers and Fishers can accommodate you and your guests. Whether your group is 30 or 300, Farmers and Fishers has the right setting for your party. They'll customize a menu and beverage package to suit your taste, plus there are no room rental fees and low package minimums. Contact Lila Dugley for more info or get details at farmersandfishers.com about booking your event.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
Oh, you're playing cupcake. All right, welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We've got Charles and Candace Nelson in here, and they are the people that created Sprinkles.
And Charles just said that he eats a cupcake every day, and you guys are so skinny. I'm sorry, I don't believe you.
It's absolutely true. In fact, I'm waiting for the day that I'm sick of cupcakes. It's been 8 years now.
People always ask us, do you still eat the cupcakes?
Yeah, but you're from L.A. Doesn't everybody in L.A. just have cocaine in the morning?
Well, that helps.
Oh, the secret ingredient in our cupcakes, you just guessed it.
Cocaine and then a couple of acai pills.
It helps.
So let me ask a question, because I really, one of our issues, in fact, we had this rugged conversation yesterday, is that, you know, they're great things, but sometimes things cost too much, and it's just BS. It's not really, you know. So, I mean, is there that vast a difference between, and I know what you're going to say, and I'm really asking a rhetorical question, between, you know, that Hostess cupcake at Giant or wherever, and these cupcakes? They all taste good. And, you know,
there's different levels of good.
Lard,
I mean, this is fresh, and I'm answering your question.
Don't answer their question.
That annoys me when he says this kind of stuff.
No. I think that's a totally legitimate question, and it's something that we got all the time when we first opened. People would walk in and say, wait, what? $3 mm-hmm. for a cupcake? And then we'd see that same person come back and say, I would have paid $5.
Right.
I mean, the first thing is the ingredients are pure. You know, they are not going to sit around. Your cupcake is going to go stale by the next day. It's fresh. It's pure. It's not going to sit around for 20 years and still be edible.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, just handcrafted, made with the best ingredients, natural ingredients that your body can
digest. All right, we don't have a lot of time. So you guys are opening on March 3rd?
Yes, Thursday, March 3rd.
What's the address?
3015 M Street in Georgetown.
Okay, so right in the middle of Georgetown. Talk about your Sprinkles truck. Is it going to stay here, or is it just here for 2 weeks?
It's going to be here for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and next week we're going to be, if you follow us at Sprinkles Mobile, you'll be able to figure out where we are. We're going to be giving away free cupcakes throughout the district. You know, it travels to all of our openings. It will be back, but it travels around the country. So it's going down to Texas after this and back to New York.
I was wondering if maybe you guys were going to get in on the whole, you know, I know in L.A. the food truck scene is huge, but it is starting to really pop
here. There actually is a cupcake food truck here. So
We're going to eventually have one out here. You know, it's mm-hmm. just we developed this one with our designer and West Coast Customs. And so it's kind of traveling the country right now. And then we'll eventually settle down with kind of one in each area.
But get very excited if you see it on the streets, because we are not selling them. We are giving them away.
For 2 weeks?
And yes. 2 weeks.
Perhaps I should give you our home address.
And let's just talk about, you guys are doing a huge donation to Baby Love. So let's just talk about that quickly, because then we have to wrap
up. Allie Wentworth is going to be at a VIP party on Tuesday night. We're donating $25,000 to Baby Love DC to help, you know, mothers of small children, help them with the supplies they need. It's a charity near and dear to her heart. And, you know, charity is a big part of what we do. We've donated over $2 million in cash and cupcakes in our local market since we started. So if you have anybody has charities out there that need donations, please let us know.
And I also just want to mention that on opening day, Florian Belanger, who is also the co-judge on Cupcake Wars with me, and I will be at the store all day long. So anyone who watches Cupcake Wars and wants to ask us questions about all those crazy cupcake flavors we've been testing.
So that's on March 3rd.
Shameless
on March 3rd.
No, no,
come
no.
on by.
That is the whole point.
Filming season 3.
You guys are great. And I ate a cupcake during the break. I shoveled it into my face.
Right, exactly.
It was delish.
Thank you. Guys, thanks so much
for
coming
in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
us.
All right, let's jump back over to Teddy and Matt. Teddy, we had you on the show before, and we talked about how to pair beers with food. You know, are you directing what's served at Savor?
He brought in a bunch of food.
I see that, but I mean, are you sort of masterminding that whole thing?
We are. It's actually myself and another chef. We're actually working with the caterers from Federal City Catering on pairing all the food with the beer, or the beer with the food. And now, this year we're doing something different. It's really interesting when you say pairing beer with food. You can just do a simple pairing where a dish goes well with a beer. You can do an incorporation where you use the beer to cook. You can tell the story of the beer through the food. And actually, one of the things that I tried to do with this particular dish right here is to recreate the beer utilizing the food, and kind of like almost they're not may not complement each other, more almost compete with each other.
Okay.
As you guys know, you've tasted the beer and you know the flavor profile going on.
Right.
And so I did an arugula salad with some goat cheese, cranberries, orange segments, and a little bit of black pepper, walnuts, and herbs. So it's kind of like takes you on the same ride that the beer does. Mm-hmm. Starts off very aromatic with that the orange segment. Then you get the sweetness from the cranberries, a little bit of tartness from it as well. The nuttiness represents the malts in the beer, the arugula, the bitterness, and the hops. And then the black pepper also has a little bit of a black peppery finish on the beer. So I tried to recreate that whole thing utilizing the food.
All right. And Matt? Hello, Matt. Let's talk real quick about Flying Dog. And I wasn't being facetious. We do have a fridge full. How did it all get started? Of course you do. You better. But how did Flying Dog, where did it come from? It seems like it just popped up all of a sudden.
Well, Flying Dog actually started in 1990 in Aspen, Colorado as a brew pub. Our founder, George Stranahan, he's an heir of the Champion Spark Plug family, actually, and he took a trip to Pakistan in the 80s. And after successfully summiting K2 and returning back down, he was in a local Pakistani bar where he looked up on the wall and he saw a painting of a flying dog. And, you know, he really took that to heart, thinking that, you know, somebody actually may think that dogs may be able to fly, and when, you know, that basically anything is possible. So he took that idea back to Colorado. He renamed his ranch the Flying Dog Ranch years later, opened up the brew pub, and, we went through a couple of different carnations in Denver and, ended up, in 2006 buying what used to be the old Frederick Brewing Company.
Okay. And that's how you got here.
And the rest is history.
All right. Yeah. It's a good history. All right. Well, we're going to come back to you guys because we've got.
I know, but I want to ask one question because he just poured a beer. I know you're going to be pouring a second one. What's the second one you're going to be pouring?
The second one is the Raging Bitch Belgian IPA.
Okay. When we come back to you, we're going to find out why you call it that.
I know why.
And how you came up with it.
I know why.
And which beer does your dish go with the best?
I actually have one dish per beer.
Okay, so this one goes with the first beer.
Okay, great. And it's a recreation of the beer utilizing food.
Excellent, thank you.
All right, well, Alan Balier is here with us, and he is the, I guess, the founder of Fresh and Local CSA in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. And really, Alan, we're here to get a primer on what CSAs are and how people like us who live in the city can get involved intimately in farming. So first question, what's a CSA and what's the point?
Okay. Well, the a CSA means community supported agriculture, and the origins of CSA is from back around the late part of the 80s. It's essentially a movement where consumers came together with farmers who were looking to grow organic food.
You need to get a little closer to the mic so we can hear you a little bit better. There you go.
When organic food wasn't commonly available. In fact, at that time, the government was actively working against organic farmers. And so consumers came together with farmers, got a piece of land. The consumers bought a portion of the produce that the farmer would produce on that land. And in that fashion, through cooperative behavior, the farmers and the consumers were able to produce food that was of a lot higher quality than what was available in the marketplace. So with the passage of time, the public's interest in organic food, of course, proved out to be very strong, and the federal government moved in and
Amazing? I mean, they would work so hard against it, and it didn't matter. I mean, now organic is everywhere. It's unbelievable.
I know, but it's a very diluted standard, and is becoming more and more obviously a deceptive standard.
A marketing scheme,
and also sort of a Trojan horse. You know, I didn't pay too much attention to it, but just in the past week or two, there was issues about GMOs being sheltered in the organic certification. And, of course, one of the reasons...
For those who don't know what a GMO is.
Genetically modified organisms, which those of us in the organic movement feel that they're tremendously unnatural and they shouldn't be in our food. And at a minimum, we're not Luddites, but at a minimum, something that this is changed on the genetic level, we would feel needed a substantial amount of proving before it was dropped into our food system. But the government and corporations like Monsanto have been happy to not only drop those GMOs into our food, but they choose to make that food unlabeled So you can't go into the market and choose not to buy GMO food. You won't know unless you buy organic, which right. currently has
Alan,
no GMOs.
Alan, we've got about 2 minutes before we get to commercial. Tell everybody, imagine we all landed from Mars and just don't know anything. What is a CSA? How does that work between the consumer and the farmer?
Well, the way it's normally expressed is a CSA is a program where the consumer pays in advance for the produce that they'll receive in the coming season.
Mm-hmm.
So they pay their fee. If you want to join a CSA, you can check on the web at localharvest.org and type in your zip code and choose the CSA button, and CSAs in your area will pop up, and they'll explain how to choose it, particular
but how does,
CSA.
How for the person who wants to get involved, who says, I really want to get involved with the CSA, how do they go about picking a quality CSA? I mean, what are the requirements that they should be looking for?
Well, what's tremendously important at this point in time, CSAs have become so popular that in the last couple of years, most of the metropolitan areas are drowned in what we're calling fake CSAs. A fake CSA is something posing as a CSA, but they don't normally have a farm or a farmer. They're normally a resale operation, which is gathering produce from someplace, charging you in advance for it, and then parsing it out to you a week at a time.
So are they getting produce from, like, Safeway? I mean, are they...
Well, probably from the same sources. Sometimes it's from local produce auction barns, but the local produce auction barns will be staffed from any place in the world when that produce isn't available locally. So mm-hmm. that there's no guarantee of getting local stuff. There's absolutely no guarantee of getting fresh stuff. And unfortunately, the organic provisions, the CSAs used to always be organic, that's disappearing also. So the primary in getting all good food is to know your farmer and to know the farm. It doesn't take much time. Often it's just a phone call and ask the question. Sometimes I do that, call some of these farms that have such fake ads, call and ask. And the deception is so transparent, it's just startling. People will say, oh, we get all of our food from our neighbors, and we sell that to you.
They do it as a community group, like several farms going all in it. Is that how they're sort of selling it?
No, that would be a different thing. No, there's places that I've called up pretending to be a person looking for a CSA share. I actually thought these places were legitimate when I first did this. And you ask whether if they don't have a land where the food comes from, and they mm-hmm. say, well, we get it from our neighbors. And then you say, well, who are your neighbors? Well, why do you want to know? Well, I'd like to know where my food is coming from. Well, then maybe you need to call somebody else.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, very interesting.
We're going to need to take a break. When we get back, we want to talk about exactly how the arrangement is with buying a share and what you get for that and all that.
This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to talk about getting in on the CSA. Summer's coming up. It's time to buy your share. We're going to be having more Flying Dog beer, and Chef John Critchley is at Urbana. He's going to tell us all about his new menu. We'll be right back.
I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
The following statement has been authorized by Credit Guard of America. A nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt. If you owe $2,000 or more to the credit card companies and are seeking relief, you are invited to call the toll-free helpline now for free information, 1-800-300-3320. This service is provided by Credit Guard of America, a nonprofit organization. The free helpline offers programs that allow you to cut your payments by up to half of what you're currently paying and reduce your debt to much less than you owe. Call the toll-free helpline now for free information at 1-800-300-3320. Again, a nonprofit national helpline has been established to assist members of the public struggling with credit card debt of $2,000 or more. Members of the public wanting to learn how to get debt-free and stay debt-free are urged to call the national toll-free helpline now for free information and assistance at 1-800-300-3320. That's 1-800-300-3320.
Rise and shine with Founding Farmers. Choose from farm fresh eggs, blueberry buckwheat pancakes, stuffed French toast, waffles made to order, an amazing array of side orders like thick cut bacon, fresh grilled sausage, yogurt parfaits, and house-made jams and jellies with Intelligentsia coffees, tea salon teas, fresh hand-squeezed juices, and eye-opening libations. You've got a real breakfast. Founding Farmers, 1924 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest. Open weekdays from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. for breakfast. See the menus and make reservations directly at wearefoundingfarmers.com.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
I'm pretty good at drinking beer.
So am I. All right, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. And farmer Alan Balier is in with us talking about CSAs. Alan, let's just talk about how a share works. I buy a share in the CSA. You have different groupings. I can buy a share in flowers. I can buy a share in vegetables and eggs. I buy a share, then what happens?
Okay. Well, essentially, the central share in most CSAs will be a vegetable share. And you're right. There are a variety of add-ons you could add on. And those are for the obvious reasons that they don't have the universal appeal that vegetables will have. So not everybody wants eggs. And then we get down to, we do a meat CSA also. And
Is that beef and pork and chicken, or
It's beef and pork and lamb?
Okay.
We have to have USDA inspection, and we're in West Virginia, which strangely enough has much tougher health laws than Virginia, where Joel Salatin does his chickens.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so we're left out of chickens. But yeah, we do the other things, and everything we do is grass finished. The pork is humanely raised and is getting local grains.
Is everything pastured?
It is pastured, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So that part's great. But anyway, so you have your basic vegetable share. And the vegetable share is your weekly harvest of what the farm produced during the season. Our season runs from June until about the 1st of October, the 1st of June until about the 1st of October. And each week you get your share as a shareholder of what was produced during that week. So the weather can affect you. It's always said that you share in the bounty, and you share in any problems that occur. But those aren't normally issues. That's just sort of the principles that CSA was founded on.
So what can people expect in their share? Like, let's say I come in, so mid-June. What are some of the things I can find in my bag?
Well, in this particular region, the season actually starts really slow. And so through the month of June, it's normally a variety of greens.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll be getting things like garlic scapes right off the bat. You'll be getting garlic towards the ends of June. You'll be getting spring onions early on.
Teddy, are you going to make something with garlic scapes?
Oh, God.
I watched him roll his
He's drooling in his beer over there.
Nice. It's like soft shell crab season.
I know.
So, yeah, that's a great reason to be in a CSA. And it's CSAs that made garlic scapes popular, because CSA farmers are always looking for unusual things to give out to their shareholders. And also there's no concept of waste at a CSA farm. So it's not in this area, it's not until mid-July and a little bit later that things like the tomatoes and peppers start coming up. Actually, the early potatoes can appear in June also. And in this area, they can run through the whole season, possibly.
All right. Let's make sure we've only got a couple seconds
people
left.
People know where to find you.
How do people know how to find fresh and local CSA online and in this world?
Okay. The easiest way to find us is the webpage, which is freshandlocalcsa.com with the "and" spelled out. We're also on Facebook, and I have no idea how you send somebody to a Facebook page. We'll show up as Fresh and Local CSA there. And then the way to find a CSA in general is to go to this page, which is called localharvest.org, and just type in your zip code and push a button for CSA, and you should get a whole array of them.
And I just want to ask you quickly, do you deliver locally? If people in the D.C. metro area wanted to join your CSA, where would they pick up their goods?
Oh, thank you. Well, currently we deliver to Bethesda, we deliver to Tenley, we deliver to Silver Spring and 16th Street, down to North Arlington, and to American University and George Washington University.
So you have lots of delivery points.
Yeah, but they're drop points.
Right.
CSAs are very cooperative, and the economics require that they're cooperative. So I would like to say if you're in a situation where a CSA offers to deliver to your door, you're undoubtedly caught in a resale situation.
Okay, great. Farmer,
you're a suspicious
Farmer
man,
Alan.
Alan. All right, well, thanks for joining
us.
Last question before you go. You're out in Shepherdstown. Are your members, welcome to come out there and help farm? Or do they just get in the way?
Well, I should make it clear that Shepherdstown is only about 50 miles from where we're sitting.
It's not the end of the world. So, but, I mean,
West Virginia sounds far.
If people hike out there, can they help you farm?
Oh, sure, they're welcome to. In fact, they'll be asked to come out and help and do things like weeding and whatnot, but they're not required to. And
our camera crew had told me earlier today that their fantasy is to come out and spend the day picking up lamb poo. So, right? Yeah? No. Yeah. Oh, one of them just gave me a sign that he really wants to go. All right. Well, thanks for joining us, Alan. It's freshandlocalcsa.com online, and we appreciate you coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot.
All right. Enjoy your cupcakes.
All right, Teddy. This last dish was just delicious.
Thank you.
I wasn't expecting the sausage in there.
Yeah, the sausage actually, like they were saying, the name El Dorado kind of brought on a little bit of a Mexican influence. So I decided to do I didn't have any chorizo, so I had what's called chorizo, which is a Portuguese sausage.
Right.
That just deep fried, and just so it gets a little crispy. It's almost like a lardone, only a little different as far as the flavor and texture. And that kind of just cleaned everything off your palate.
It was so nice with the beer. Now, what did you make next?
This is to be paired with the Raging Bitch. It's brewers do many amazing things. They push the limits when they brew their beers. I mean, they have high alcohol beers. They really try and, you know, they play a game of hit and miss with their yeast strains. It's very difficult to make these beers and, you know, to push limits. So what I kind of did was try to push the limits of a steak tartare. Traditionally, it's not served with hot sauce, blue cheese, and fried onions. When I'm drinking this beer, this is an actual just straight up
pairing.
This is
for the Raging Bitch.
Yeah, Raging Bitch.
Keep saying it?
Yeah, okay. Raging Bitch. It's a straight up pairing. It goes really well. It's basically, you're going to have a wonderful mouthfeel with the raw steak, and then adding in the blue cheese it's an aromatic blue cheese. It's a creamy, but it's very creamy, so it won't overpower anything.
Mm-hmm.
The crunch from the onions, and then the heat from the hot sauce. It's a combination of a fight that I had with my fiance about what's the best item to eat with this beer. She said a steak and cheese. I said I said hot wings. We're bar food people, so we compromised.
Okay, I think
so you're still engaged.
Yes, took me eight years to get engaged, so hopefully we'll stay together long.
Matt, come up to the mic for a sec. Yeah. So tell us why the name.
Well, there's a couple different ways we come up with names. In this case, we actually just started asking around the brewery. And the name popped up, and you know,
because of the taste, the flavor, how it's made, or just somebody thought it was funny.
Well, we use a yeast called El Diablo, so not to be confused with the El Dorado, but El Diablo, like the devil. And this yeast is a very aggressive fermenter, and gives us a lot of the, particularly the aroma characteristics of this beer. And so we're kind of thinking of, you know, devil things and just kind of off the wall, mean, crazy things. And somebody suggested Raging Bitch. Now, the thing was, is that, you know, we kind of checked with all the women around the brewery. And once the women around the brewery were cool with it, we were game.
No, it's funny.
Yeah. I would just have someone else start your car, though.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's jump off of that. We've got Chef John Critchley with us from Urbana. You just got here.
Yes, I did.
So how do you like our weather?
It's beautiful.
Nice as Miami? No.
Wait, when did you come into D.C.?
December.
Were you here for the storm? Yeah.
Yes.
So you were here.
Yep. I grew up in Boston, so I'm pretty
used to it.
Well, actually, unknowingly, we lost power, so we ended up, because the Palomar is a dog-friendly hotel, we moved down there with our kids and our dogs for 2 days, so we were eating your food. Right after you got there. Hey, thanks a lot.
Right when I showed up, too.
That's right. So
we had such a nice time there, though, I have to tell you.
Excellent.
It was great.
The staff is so amazing.
It's a fun place.
Do us a favor and do a quick 411 on your background so people know where you came from.
Okay, I grew up in Scituate, Massachusetts, about 30 minutes south
of... I'm a UMass boy.
30 minutes south of Boston. I grew up cooking in the restaurants on the South Shore. Went to the Culinary Institute of America. Graduated there in 97. Moved to Williamsburg, Virginia. Worked at the Trellis restaurant as a pastry chef, then moved back to Boston, traveled around as a private chef, started working in Boston at Clio with Ken Oringer.
Fabulous restaurant.
Worked at
Wait, can Uni. I interrupt you and ask
sure,
you a question? So you were focusing on pastry. Mm-hmm. When did you move to all around? I mean, did you make
In high school, I did pastries and line cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I was making wedding cakes on weekends and then cooking the line on weekend nights.
Okay.
So I've always balanced back and forth, trying to be well-rounded.
But what's your pleasure? Which do you prefer?
Cooking. Food.
Cooking.
Everything.
Food.
Everything kitchens.
You want to make some cupcakes, too?
Sure.
I'm joking.
Those look great, though.
They are good.
Well, dig in.
After working
Don't
with,
you touch them.
After working at the Trellis for Death by Chocolate, I've kind of stopped eating cakes and
I bet.
Everything.
Right. I can only imagine. So now, what brought you up to D.C.?
I started working with Kimpton Hotels and Restaurants in Miami at Area 31, an Epic Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then I wanted to move closer towards home. We just had a baby 6 weeks ago.
Oh, congratulations.
So, little Jack. So we wanted to be closer to family.
Mm-hmm.
D.C. was a great opportunity to come up and
it's a good place to
and make an
family.
Impact, too.
All right, so I got a question. You come into, it's one thing to open a new restaurant and put your stamp on it. You come into an established place like Urbana, and how do you
make it yours?
Yeah, how do you put your mark on it?
Well, right now, tomorrow, actually, we're debuting our new dinner menu.
Mm-hmm.
We've done some physical changes to the menu, and we've also done the menu changes with food.
Does that look familiar? So there's your menu.
There's your
menu. That looks like it right there.
That looks familiar.
We are focusing, and we're kind of refocusing the Provence and Northern Italy region. I'm definitely bringing the seafood aspect and the sustainability from Miami to Urbana.
What specifically about sustainability? I mean, you're just looking to feature sustainable fish purely, and are you looking to educate diners at all? I mean,
no.
How are you looking to roll it out?
Well, we don't want to educate our diners. We
stupid.
Well, I guess we should eat there then.
We're not trying to pose our beliefs on our diners. It's just we feel, you know, responsible to purchase fish from fishermen or farmers that are making an impact to grow the populations versus.
Well, that raises a good question. How do you come up here? You're here, boom. You got to take over the restaurant. You got to hit the ground running.
Have a baby.
You look terrific, by the way.
I didn't look that good after my first.
I'm not coming on to you. I'm just saying you look great for having a baby right away. But my point is, how do you do all that and find sources up here? I mean, are you pulling up a bunch of folks that you worked with in Miami? Is that how that works?
Well, I definitely talked to. I also worked on a winter on Cape Cod growing oysters. I know a lot of local fishermen.
How do you grow oysters?
Well, it's really slow.
That's another interview.
Slow and tiring, but. So basically I'm using the local chefs, other chefs in our company, like Danny at Firefly and Rob at Post, asking them where they're getting.
And they really trumpet the cause too. I mean, they're both really into local and sustainability.
They're really great chefs too. So basically now this spring I'm going to go out and start trying to find my own contacts to develop too.
How are you going to compete with Rob's garden?
I don't know.
He's got that space, man. It's awesome.
I don't know. I got to look at our rooftop soon.
But, that's a good idea.
Maybe we can.
There's a nice little park right next to the hotel. You can.
That's
the dog park.
That's where I took the dogs during the snowstorm. It's very nice. All right, so
we have to take a commercial break.
I don't want to.
I know, but we got to. Right. And when we come back, we want to find out exactly what you're putting on the menu and how it will be evolving in the next couple of weeks. So this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We are talking, what's the matter?
How do we get to the end of the show already?
I don't know, it went very fast. We're talking about dining at Urbana, and we are having more beer. We'll be back in just a bit.
And I'm going to eat this.
Delicious.
I'm not just some tall drink of water, you know. I mean, I wash your dishes, I do the laundry, I help put out fires. I'm always there when you need me. 24/7, at home, at work, just about anywhere. And I'm not expensive, but
little boy.
I have great taste. Yeah. Well, I guess I am a tall drink of water, but I'm tap water, and that makes me special. For more information about what only tap water delivers, visit drinktap.org.
If I could have a heart to heart with my dad.
If I could have a heart to heart with my mom.
I'd probably talk about girls.
We'd probably talk about girls.
Anything, boys, school,
see how this
clothes.
You'd be amazed at what they'll talk about if you give them the chance.
If I had a heart to heart with my dad.
If it were real heart to heart, I'd tell my parents what I'm going through.
I'd probably talk to him about growing up.
I'd probably tell my dad that I wish we'd do more stuff together.
I don't think it has to be a heart to heart. I just want to talk.
Give your family everything. Give them your time. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you a woman between the ages of 35 and 60 with noticeable fine lines and wrinkles? If you answered yes, we're looking for you. We are currently seeking women to try an instant skin-firming serum called Instant Effect. As part of this opportunity, we will send you a free trial of the product, and you may have the chance to appear in a national advertising campaign. To take advantage of this unique opportunity, please call 1-800-500-0365 in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is a breakthrough beauty discovery that tightens skin on contact and takes years off your appearance. Simply smooth the lightweight serum on your wrinkles and fine lines and watch as they disappear from view in less than 90 seconds. If you're interested in seeing how young you can look in as little as 90 seconds risk-free, you must call in the next 10 minutes. Instant Effect is now available at Ulta stores. But for this exclusive free radio offer, you must call 1-800-500-0365. Hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. 1-800-500-0365.
Miami. We're playing Miami, Miami here on Foodie and the Beast because Chef John Critchley, who is the new executive chef at the at Urbana in the Kempton Palomar, just got up here from Miami. And that's actually, what a great segue. Are you finding yet any big differences between, I mean, obviously the climate's different, but what about the palates in the restaurants? Are your patrons here, you know, hungry for something radically different than what Miami hungers for?
Not generally, because Miami is actually, you know, this time of year, Miami, a lot of the northerners come down to Miami.
The snowbirds. I don't mean the ones that are coming there to die. I mean the ones that are still eating. You know?
Yeah, but I mean, are you, at your hotel in Miami, was it primarily tourists or was it a mix?
It was a mix.
So you'll probably have the same, yes. I mean, Urbana gets a very nice local.
Yeah, we have a
clientele.
Very strong local following. Mm-hmm. And they're very fun. One of the biggest things is a bar. Our bar business there has been
great. It's a
beautiful
bar.
So my background in small plates in Boston and seafood really kind of ties into Urbana's feel.
So tell us some of the things that we can see on the menu.
On the menu, we took the left side, and there's no visual for the guests, but we took the left side and put all of our bar bites, our bar items, cheeses, charcuterie, mm-hmm. a lot of things that we're making in-house now are on the main menu as well. So
okay.
you'll see it all throughout the whole dining experience. If you're at the bar, you'll have the dining room menu with the bar menu,
mm-hmm.
and you can just pick from either sharing your first course and then going into a pasta and then into a main.
So does it drive you crazy to be responsible for, to be a new parent, to be responsible for, you know, the dining room, room service, all that stuff? Does that all fall under you and your...
Yes, that was something that was a big learning curve going from my small restaurant in Boston to a 400-room hotel with 400 residences in Miami.
Well, it does. I mean, listen, I'm not a chef, so I wouldn't know, but isn't there an... Oh, God, I'm going to kill you. You're being a raging bitch.
I haven't even begun.
Have the beer. No, but, you know, to... You prepare something nice, and then a waiter's got to stick it on a tray and roll it up, you know, 10 floors to a room. So by then, it may not be as just ready to go.
Yeah,
how do you guard against that?
We crafted a special in-room dining menu for things that can travel better. But any of our guests can still order from Urbana as well.
So I got it.
We have items that are meant to carry the 10, 12 minutes to get to a room.
But also, don't you think people should, I mean, I guess... Ignorant people wouldn't know any better that food is going to change as it cools or, you know, it's not going to look as pretty as when it's initially cut. But overall, most people will understand that if you're ordering room service, you're not getting the exact same thing that you would get when you dine in a restaurant.
No, room service can be very, very elegant. We can get it up there.
You know,
they make pretty fast elevators nowadays. We can get
you're
it up there.
You're telling me I'm wrong.
Really
is that what you're telling me? Have you not heard the comment, Raging Bitch, already?
It's the name of a beer, Nikki. Boy.
We try to make sure that
she
our
takes it so personally.
Guests,
sorry.
That's right. Our in-room guests will get the same experience. We're really pushing for that as a company as a whole, too.
Now, what about lunch and breakfast? How involved are you in those menus?
That's going to be our next project. Lunch is going to be more composed salads, not necessarily focusing on Provence and Northern Italy, just for the business person who wants to come in, have lunch in 15 minutes, and be back at work.
And breakfast, you know, the power of breakfast has risen its head again.
Mm-hmm. It's
and
very big right now.
Very big.
Yes.
So are you doing anything special in that regard?
We will be. Right now we have a tremendous brunch business with a build-your-own Bellini bar, which is all-you-can-drink Bellinis for $16.
Yeah,
it's really fun.
I see somebody over there looks like, I know where I'm going after this show.
Exactly. It's a great brunch. And we're going to go revisit all those breakfast and brunch menus.
Got it. All right. Well, listen.
Chef, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Before we get back to Teddy and the guys, I just want to very briefly thank the folks that support the show and make it possible. Our friends at Georgetown Bagelry, best bagels in America.
Mm-hmm.
Neighborhood Restaurant Group, Rustico Evening Star, Tallulah Vermilion, Buzz Bakery, Michael Babin, stop opening so many restaurants, Columbia Firehouse, Birch and Barley, Church Key, Founding Farmers down on Pennsylvania Avenue, our guys there.
And Farmers and Fishers.
And John Arroyo, Farmers and Fishers, and the people from Potomac Hospitality, Noti Bianche, Dish, and Circle Bistro. And a special shout-out to my friend Adam Hurst, who's listening with a bunch of people around the radio.
Too bad you're not in studio today,
You're missing
today,
some
Adam.
Food today,
you
yo.
You are. It's tons of fun.
All right, so Teddy and Matt, I got a question for Matt. Matt, you know, craft beer, the phrase connotes a guy down in his basement, or a woman, lovingly producing a case of something artisanal and, you know, special and scientific and all
obnoxious?
That.
That's
no, it
obnoxious.
Doesn't. No, that's what the phrase, okay. That's how it all started.
Answering
so
this question.
It's come a long way.
How do you replicate that real quality on a large scale, because you're not just doing limited batches of you know these beers, or if you are, they're big batches.
Sure. Well, I mean, I think we're talking about a couple of different things here. One is the technical aspect of brewing, where you have a lot of science involved, and then there's of course the artistic expression of brewing. So there's simple things like, you know, just good practice when you are brewing, and I think that home brewers, if you invest properly and spend the time, you can make world class beer at home. It can be a little difficult, but if you have the right equipment in place, you can do it. On the big scale, we've got all the equipment we need, and then it really comes down to the fun part, which is the artistic aspect of putting things together. When you think about beer, you have four ingredients, you know, water, yeast, barley, and hops. Now, if you take just between the barley and the hops and the yeast, there's just scores and scores of varieties of each of those elements. And, you know, the brewer's job is to kind of figure out, you know, when you look at a beer, a lot of times, like in my case, I'll look at a beer and imagine it before we start putting the recipe together.
Similar to how somebody in the wine industry yes. does it. I mean, they have all these different grapes.
Yes.
So it sounds very similar to that.
Yes, of course.
Am I wrong?
Some of us argue that the brewing process is a little more detail oriented than
Oh my God, we're gonna have a breakdown.
Wait. That's called beer social climbing. You understand that? That's,
yeah. but also too, I mean, you know, beer is an agricultural product. So I mean, the first beer we had was the El Dorado, and you know, there's only an acre and a half of those grown right now, which is a minuscule amount when you look at the total hop production for the year, for any given year. We use about 90,000 pounds of hops in a year. This particular beer that we did used about 100 pounds. So
gotcha.
Just to give you a kind of a picture of what goes on.
Now tell me about this beer here.
Well, this is our coffee stout. So we started with a base of an imperial stout, and we used the coffee from Black Dog Coffee Company.
So physical coffee or just coffee beans?
Well, what we do is a coarse ground. So it's a custom grind and a custom roast. And mm-hmm. we actually add that to the beer after it's been fermented and then go ahead and package it shortly after.
Okay. Teddy.
Yes.
Tell us what you made here.
Well, we have our cheesecake, mm-hmm. but the star of this dish is actually the coffee stout caramel.
Okay.
There's
so you
only
use
four,
the beer
yeah,
in
it's
it.
Four simple ingredients. This is one of those pairings where you actually utilize the beer mm-hmm. in the cooking process as an ingredient. Reduction of the
and
coffee
stout. And it's
still
stout. Okay to serve the beer with it? It's still...
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes people are afraid to use like the same components in the food and then serve. They look to do an accent instead.
Well, with this, what you'd look to do is notice similarities between the flavor of the beer and the flavor of the caramel.
Okay.
And how everything kind of works together that way. It's not mm-hmm. necessarily you take a bite and you take a drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of a comparison type pairing.
All right, okay. Guys, we are running out of time. Teddy.
Teddy.
Change your name to Terry. Teddy.
Or Friday.
Teddy, tell everybody.
Pin the tail on the donkey.
Where do we go online to get tickets for Savor?
SavorCraftBeer.com.
Gee, that was easy. All right, guys, thanks for joining us. Thanks
Everybody,
for the
thank
brews.
Thank you so much. It was
thank
so
you
Chef,
good.
Thanks for joining us. You know, there's plenty. You only get a taste, literally and figuratively, of what's going on here in the Washington area on this show. If you go to the list, areyouonit.com, it's free to subscribe. It lists hundreds of things happening, not just now, but into March, April, May, even through the end of the year when we know about them. And that's all of Nikki's doing. You can also follow Nikki on Twitter to get the latest, you know, insider info on what's happening around town. And every Sunday at 12:50, she's on WTOP. That's 103.5 FM. And you can get really the top five,
I'm
top
actually
going
to be talking about Savor.
Well, so, there she is.
There
all
you
right.
Go.
So do that.
Okay, so as we do on every show, we like to feature a specific charity, and this time?
I don't have one.
Okay, I guess we're not doing a charity.
No, yes. I love.
What?
No.
You're going to suggest Brain Food, right?
One of my absolute favorites is DC Central Kitchen.
No. But you're on the board of Brain Food. So yeah.
Oh, you're on the board of Brain Food.
Yeah,
that's true. All right.
We just did 8th Street Cares. We raised over $5,000 for Brain Food. We're able to get classes going for another 5 months there, supporting them. It's a great organization, brain-food.org.
And they are also doing a huge competition May 1st. I'm judging on the Half Smoke.
Yes.
So that'll be good.
You asked her to judge Half Smokes?
No,
and
you didn't ask me.
Teddy. Teddy.
But I'm judging them.
Teddy. Sometimes I even eat whole smokes.
Okay.
All right,
but we do leave you with a little quote.
This is from Stephen Wright, a famous philosopher, who said, 24 hours in a day, 24 beers in a case. Coincidence? I think not.
Okay.
All right, so thanks to Candace and Charles Nelson of Sprinkles, Granville Moore's Teddy Folkman, and Flying Dog's Matt Brophy. Farmer Alan Ballier and Chef John Critchley for joining us today. Next week, we're going dumpster diving with
Jeremy Seifert
from Dive.
And Chef Ingrid Hoffman is going to be on. She's from Unison Simply Delicioso. It's going to be a delicious show.
He fed his family for, what, a year?
Yeah, dumpster diving.
Dumpster diving.
Outside of Whole Foods.
And they ate well.
Yeah,
that sounds like
awesome.
My deal. We'll see you next week on Foodie and the Beast. Bye-bye.
Have a delicious week.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the Lifelong Nutrition Well Hour with the phenomenal Cheryl Wells. This program will feature the fastest nutritional discoveries available, and our special guest will talk about natural healing and prevention methods in caring for your health. And now, here's Cheryl Wells.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing out there? This is Cheryl Wells, and you're listening to the Lifelong Wells Nutrition Hour. I'm so excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about a revolutionary, unique product on the market called BioVaxin. And we have a guest on today whose name is Mr. Tom Lemus. It gives us great honor to introduce to you a new